sip. Let's tune into Brad and Britt.
It is the Brad and Britt cast. Thank you so much. We're live in the 1:30 hour on Wednesday. The Thursday 1:30 hour Brad and Britt cast will be our last one for a week. We'll take the Thanksgiving week off. Britt, of course, is the Grand Marshal out in Los Angeles for the Rose Parade out there, and he needs some time to get all gussied up, as they used to say on the Andy Griffith Show.
The good old Tournament of Roses. Nothing wrong with that.
Yep. Yep. I have a clip here of us.
Oh, no.
Now, you know how Facebook sometimes just throws shit at you from the past?
Yes.
And I wasn't looking for it. It just assaulted me about 10 minutes ago. And it is from 6 years ago today. That would be November 16th, 2016. So Trump had just been elected.
Okay.
Just been elected. Now, Britt, you and I have been accused of turning on Donald Trump. We were just huge supporters, and then we turned on him, right?
That's what happened. That is, that's the most accurate portrayal.
I think you're going to hear, we're hypocrites. Yeah. We're hypocrites. Yeah. You're going to see how much we love this man. We wanted to give him a chance to shine and live up to the promise for America that he made when he was elected. Now, remember, he's not president yet.
No.
He's, at that point, I think this is where he was already starting to bitch about his own win, right? This was where he was lying about the popular vote, right? It wasn't enough that he was able to sneak through with the electoral, right? Okay, so let's hear what, and I haven't listened. I listened to like 2 seconds of this.
Here we go. Destroy anything, and is apparently in the process of doing. He's destroyed many things along the line now on his way to the Oval Office. And we've known that he is really about, is he an 8-year-old child, an 11?
Boy, it's just,
in terms of his maturity level and his ability.
Sometimes he's 9, sometimes he's 6. I don't think he ever gets above 10. I don't think he's ever been above 10.
So last night, that would be Tuesday night, he sneaks out. He leaves Trump Tower, where he has been holed up for 5 days since last Thursday. Has not left there.
So hard,
which, again, remember, at the end of Hitler's reign, he died in a bunker. At the beginning of Trump's reign, he is in a bunker.
I have a much nicer bunker than he ever had.
Aren't you proud that we were already playing the Hitler card? He wasn't even in office yet.
The prescience.
Yeah, here we go.
My book, again, believe me.
You shouldn't bring up these kinds of comparisons or analogies because
you have to.
You kind of have to. It speaks for itself. So he's in there for 5 days fucking up, being incapable of doing the kinds of things that his followers and his supporters believe he is, which is a great executive, the kind of guy that would know how to hire and find the right people.
A leader.
A leader.
Yeah,
a guy.
Boy, we sure were proven wrong there. Huh?
Man, we look so stupid. Could you stop? I'm embarrassed.
He didn't have one of these rocky beginnings like Bill Clinton had it.
Exactly.
George W. Bush had it. A lot of presidents have had issues at the beginning. They hire the wrong people, the wrong chief of staff.
They do that.
And it happens all the time. But it wasn't going to happen with Trump. No. Are you kidding?
No.
Are you nuts? That's why I voted for Trump.
He's a leader. He's a decision maker.
Exactly.
He's a strong, decisive man.
Absolutely. That's how he built these great businesses, these world-renowned brands that have such great value because standing behind them is Donald J. Trump. And so he's in there fucking up for 5 days.
Right.
And finally, on Tuesday night, through this spokesperson, again, a woman you've never seen on TV. Yeah. She never gives interviews. Her name is Hope Hicks.
Oh, yeah.
And sadly, because she's extremely hot, we're missing out on someone who would really be a great thing for TV. Is that sexist? Oh, yeah. In Trump world, it's not.
No, we're done with PC.
You know, think about it. She never did become a public figure spokesperson for Trump. She never did.
In a previous, I was looking at something last night, and you'll remember this. This was 30 years ago. And it was this woman who claimed she was a former Miss Virginia, and she claimed she had an affair with Virginia governor and then Virginia Senator Chuck Robb. Do you remember this woman? I think her name was Ty Collins or something like that. And she went on.
I don't remember the name, but I remember the scandal.
It was like on a scale of 1 to 10 in Washington scandals, it's what, a 5, a 4, something like that in terms of that. Mm. So she goes on and she does Playboy, which is what you did in those days for a number of years. If you would have a scandal, you would.
Sure.
And none of these women had the opportunity to go and pose nude and make a lot of money, a Hope Hicks or whomever, right? None of these women had that opportunity.
Well, in the case of Hope Hicks, she did better than that. She didn't have to take her clothes off, and Fox hired her for $1 million a year
for a couple years. There you go. Yeah, lucky her.
You want more of this? This is
great. Yeah, why not?
PC's dead.
Exactly.
She's
too attractive to not be on TV.
Why do I always see her name in print? I want to see her face on my TV.
So at 7:30, she sends out the little notice to all the members of the White House press corps who are covering Trump that he's done for the night. You can go home.
It's full in. Right?
So the next thing you know, 20 minutes later, he's leaving, and he goes over to this restaurant, the 21 Club, and has a steak dinner where, again, he's 9 years old, and his whole reason for being all these years has been applause and rallies. So he goes to a restaurant so that he can be applauded by people sitting in the restaurant who are surprised that he walked in.
Thank you very much.
Because he hasn't had a rally for, what, 6, 7
days? It's been a while. The adulation of the public has not been
enough. It just hasn't been enough for him. So he goes out, and the spokesperson, Hope Hicks, claims that she didn't know that he was going out. Because, remember, you're always supposed to have at least a couple of members of the press not sitting next to Donald Trump while he's eating dinner, but around.
In case he gets accosted or shot or something.
Anything.
Everything the president does is newsworthy. If he coughs, obviously if Hillary Clinton stumbles, that's newsworthy.
I heard about this story last night, and I said, wow, it'll take about 3 seconds for the excusers, the defenders, to say, isn't that great that Donald Trump gave the press the slip because he doesn't have to play by the...
Well, I guess we had that guy nailed. We don't have to brag anymore about that.
In retrospect, Hope Hicks may not have been lying. He may have just gone out without telling her because he was always free-balling shit like
sure.
that.
I mean, it's possible. Sure, but she was covering for him.
Yeah.
There. She didn't want to throw him under the bus and call him a liar. And that's just the being... I'll listen to more of that later on.
This is going to sound very Trumpian. We never get the credit we deserve. We just never get the credit for being out in front and right about this stuff. We just never.
No, we don't. I'm trying to. So he went underground in his building up there for 5 days because what? He was pissed. He had nothing to say. I mean, that's crazy. Usually, right after you get elected president, you're. That brings us to what happened on Tuesday night in Florida. And Britt, I take the bullet for the both of us here. I watch a lot of the rallies, the recent ones that he's been doing.
The stuff that I see, when I saw it, I had to watch it on mute. So I'm reading a lot of things.
Yeah.
I can't really listen as I'm watching.
About 95% of what he said at Mar-a-Lago on Tuesday is just the same script that he reads when he's at the rallies. But when he's at the rallies across the country, whether they're in Ohio or New Hampshire or Florida, Arizona, Texas, he's got a group of people in front of him who love him, who are ready to laugh at everything he's doing when he's looking for a laugh, and they're ready to applaud, and they're going crazy, and they're singing God Bless America. And they're singing God Bless the USA, and they're really into it. It's a good old fashioned hoedown every time Trump does a rally. That's what he's good at. So I find it sort of curious, and I think it was a mistake. I guess I'm the only one that thinks this. He should have announced at one of those rallies. He should have done it right there. Because the people would have gone bananas there, and you would have had that moment. Instead, you had this horrendously droll Donald Trump trying to be, I'm going to be elegant tonight. Remember? He said that. I'm going to be elegant. I'm not going to be. And so he read the teleprompter like a monotone back and forth. Here's one piece of glass with the writing on it. Here's another piece of glass. And he went through the same list of Festivus grievances. And I'm a victim. And this isn't about me. It's about you. No, it's really about me. And on and on.
But he had an answer for why the Republicans didn't do so well in the midterms last Tuesday. He basically said the American people are stupid and they don't know the pain that's been inflicted on them. That's essentially what he told.
Right.
That's what he said.
And over the next few years, it will get so bad that they will realize it and then turn to him. I feel like if Hitler really hadn't died in the bunker, let's say he really had escaped and we didn't know any better and it was the body double bit and he really did make it somewhere. And then 2 years later, he shows up in Berlin and says, I'm back. How about another 1,000 years? Okay. I feel that's where we're at right now. Because, and again, I did this courtesy of a calculator. It's one of my old calculators here. If Donald Trump were elected president in 2024, that would mean we are barely halfway through the infliction of the ego and the horribleness of the Donald Trump era. We're only halfway through because I'll give you 2 years before the election, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Plus 4 years in office. That's six.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have 2 years until the next election,
mm-hmm.
and then add four, and you have another six. So if that did happen at the end of his 4-year term, he still wouldn't be going away. He'd still be part of the scene. So we are less, think about this, we are less than halfway through if he gets reelected. And even if he doesn't get reelected, then we're only 3/4 of the way through because 6-2 would be 8. And then in the 8th year, he gets beaten again. And we don't have to put up with 4 years of a second presidency.
What?
And that's depressing. That is really depressing shit.
Well, and I think the key is this is supposed to be multi-generational because he's supposed to have either after he's bows out of the spotlight, whenever that is, whenever his body's cold, it's supposed to be Cokehead or Ivanka stepping up and taking over the mantle. I think that's the plan.
It's quite interesting here. I haven't heard about the third of the triumvirate, but Ivanka Trump put out a statement explicitly saying, I'm having no part of this shit.
No, thank you.
I'm no part of this shit. I don't want anything to do with it. And I think Eric Trump said, I'm not going to, you know, I guess he's going to have to be in charge of selling off all the parts of the Trump organization when it's found to be guilty.
No,
there won't be anything to sell, of course.
If Eric's not involved, this thing's doomed because that's the geniusry that led them to the promised land.
Did I miss on Don Jr.? He must have been there, but
I find it very hard to believe that Don Jr. is not going to be involved because what the fuck else does he have to do? Go over to Africa and slaughter baboons or something? I mean, there's nothing else this guy's got to do. Of course, he's got to be involved.
I think I can read between the lines on the Ivanka Trump statement, and I actually believe everything in there, which is I just want to have a private life and raise my kids.
And
I get that because basically she's had 6 years of this shit along with the old man, and what's it gotten her? It's gotten her probably the loss of every friend she's ever had in her life, and I think this is my guess that's what she would want to do in her personal life. Rebuild that part of her life. I don't know her. She's probably just as, you know, she's as horrendous as her father, but nothing could be that bad. And that's my guess. And why would she? She's still got little kids. And so I'm into that. And she also, in the end, could think exactly what most Republicans are thinking, which is we have to divorce ourselves from Trumpism. Not because he tried to overthrow the government, not because he tried to overturn democracy, not because he lies, not because he's a grifter, not because he used the presidency in ways that we've never seen, not because he used the Justice Department or the FBI or the IRS. At least he was aspirational to do that, to go after his enemies. Not all those things. It's just because politically he's not advantageous to us anymore, and we don't win with him at all. That's the reason. And maybe Ivanka Trump thinks that way too. She doesn't ever have to say it, but why would you book a spot on board the SS Titanic Trump,
yeah,
if you think it's going down this time, even if your last name is Trump? That would be my guess.
At some point, yeah. I mean, I would hope, but I still will say this is the family business now. And he was always going to run because this is the best way that they've got to grift a lot of money from a lot of stupid people. There's no other product for them to sell. The real estate thing, I don't think is happening anymore. The golf thing is not happening anymore. This is how you do it. This is the keys to the kingdom. And there are people that don't have a pot to piss in that are throwing money at this guy today that they're going to put right in that pocket. They're going to put right in their pockets.
I think from an atmospheric standpoint, you're right. You know, you've been consistent on this for years, and there's never been anything to dissuade you or me or anybody else from thinking that's true. But there is an expiration date on everything.
Oh, yeah.
There is the law of diminishing returns that eventually sets in on everything. Amazon, the company, has lost more than half of its stock market value in the last year. It went from being a $2 trillion company, total stock market value, and now it's less than $1 trillion. I know you're crying in your beer for that, but the fact is that there was no possible way they could keep growing the way they did in the past, because you can't grow trees to the sky. And if you're Donald Trump, he should have never been president in 2016, 2017, let alone thinking that he's in a position to create some kind of dynastic framework for which his completely inadequate children. It's not going to work that way. It will not work that way.
No way. But
they're not beloved enough.
I realize it's not
King Charles. Okay.
I realize that, but they've got no other options. I mean, they're done. Well,
I don't care if they don't have any other. Maybe there's a good opening at a crypto, budding crypto thing.
I want to know from you, because you were watching in real time. Did it hit you in real time that, oh, this is really low energy? Like, there's nothing going on. He is not committed to this. His heart is fucking not in this at all. That hit you in real time?
Well, of course it did. But he's so transparent. He went out of his way to say that I'm going to be very, very deliberate about this announcement. In fact, I'm even going to be elegant. He used that word, elegant. If there's ever a word that should be 500 miles from Donald Trump, it's the word elegant. But okay. And that was the version last night of what he used to do at rallies. He hasn't done it for a while. Remember I can be presidential. Watch me be presidential. And he would walk back and forth. I'm a president. Look, I'm going to act like a normal person. Remember that shit? Mm-hmm. He was making fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was his attempted version of that. But a wiser person than me, and there's lots of them around, noted this. Just close your eyes and think of every presidential announcement that you've ever seen in the past. Usually they are done during the day. Sometimes they are done in snowstorms, in Minnesota or in California. They just happen, and it's always a real excited crowd. It can be outside, and the person is always surrounded. And when I say surrounded, I mean physically close to family members to show their support right there. That was so the opposite of what happened in Mar-a-Lago. There was Trump, as always, all by himself. It's all about me. And on that same day, his number one assistant, his daughter, didn't want anything to do with him. I mean, she was there. She was sitting in the audience.
Right.
But that doesn't count. Big fucking deal. She's like every other person. No, you should have them. But you know what? Where was the wife? I guess she was there too. But the visuals on this were horrible.
Yeah.
The atmospherics were dreadful. It was a hot, sweaty ballroom situation. And I don't know whether you've seen the clip. It's from a reporter at ABC. They were at the back of the room. And the further back you went, a couple rows back, people were bored silly. They were trying to get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
They wanted to leave before the intermission. And you know why? Because it was boring. And again, if you've watched any rallies, I'm not even talking about the most recent ones. I mean, this is the way Trump's always done it. This is how he extends it out to Fidel Castro length speaking, which is, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours. He repeats himself. He goes back to the same subjects. He talks about the same thing 2, 3, 4 times. Well, again, when he's at a rally out in real America, they tolerate it, although people bug out of those too, but they tolerate it. Yesterday, Tuesday, those were people that have heard this shtick a million times. And even they, and I guess a lot of those people were just prisoners because they were guests at Mar-a-Lago at this particular moment. Those weren't all political supporters. You want to know who the big names were that were there? Try this out. Roger Stone.
I saw that.
The Pillow Guy.
Yeah.
Who are the other people there? This is just dreadful. It's just horrible shit.
It's a cavalcade of stars.
Yeah, yeah. In other words, nobody. There was nobody there. There was nobody there.
Everybody's pointing out that this is like a month after Roger Stone publicly called Ivanka Trump an abortionist bitch. Awkward.
You don't think they had seats right next to each other?
Awkward. If you're Tiffany Trump, do you have the idea that, oh, they were just kind of faking going through my wedding just so they get to this shit? Like my wedding
guess
was
what?
Like a
I can guarantee you she was on a 707 leaving on a jet plane faster than you can say bye bye, Sammy. See you outside of Miami someday.
I mean, she's always been kind of the afterthought child anyway. I mean, she's really, and then all of a sudden this is like, oh, they were just kind of going through the motions on my wedding so they get to this bullshit announcement, which was the thing that was really important to Donald John Trump.
Yeah, it was the American Carnage speech. It was the American Carnage speech. And one of his more recent greatest hits, which he's said at every rally, doesn't get quite the attention that it would have gotten because he said it last night, is his love of justice in China for drug dealers in China or Singapore.
Yeah.
If you're caught dealing drugs, and he has this statistic that he throws out every time, which excuse me, I have to extract this from my ass before I read it. Oh, every drug dealer kills 500 people. Now, wow, that's bad. I guess I don't like someone killing 500 people, but he loves China because if you're caught dealing drugs, they arrest you. And in 2 hours, you have a bullet in the back of your head and you're dead. That's how they handle it. And he wants that death penalty right now and see, nobody even begins to think, well, guess what? You know, that's a crime.
Yeah.
And states and cities and counties, that's how we do crime. Okay. There isn't a federal kill the drug dealers law or bill or
process. We have this crazy thing about
matter, does it? It doesn't matter. It doesn't.
We've got this crazy thing about due process. And again, if you love the Constitution, I hate to point these things out, being able to face your accusers, jury of your peers. Does this ring a bell with anyone?
You're for our children being poisoned with fentanyl, 100,000 a year. You're for that. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. The problem is that we are not executing and imprisoning enough people in this country. Clearly, if we did, if we led the world in imprisoning people. Oh, we do? By like a lot? Oh, and somehow that's not working?
That's weird. Why we need to just shoot them on the spot. Don't you understand? That way we don't have more in prison. They're just dead.
Let's talk about the coverage, because you and I were like, who's going to cover it? Who's not? CNN was live. Fox was live. C-SPAN was live. MSNBC, as far as I could see, didn't touch it. Correct?
No, you're wrong.
They did have some?
Because there's a lot of nuance to that. CNN was live for 20 minutes, and then they cut out.
To their credit, they started talking over him with a panel.
Right, that was it. I mean, basically, it was the first 20 minutes, and that was all you heard. And on Fox, they went a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And then they cut out, and they started talking about it. But then they went back to it for the end. And MSDNC, I love when they do that.
That's classic. So good.
MSNBC didn't run it live at all, but they did exactly what Fox did during the January 6th hearings that were on during the prime time hours. They didn't run it live, but what they did is they put the hearings up in a little box in the corner, and they just talked about it the whole time. So you never heard any of Trump's actual speaking, but you saw that it was going on, and they were talking about it. And Alex Wagner had Peter Baker of the New York Times talking about it. So they were pretty close to being in normal programming. So it's kind of an interesting mirror image of priorities here. In the end, whatever Trump did, it gets out there. But that's a fair characterization. But I guess the most important thing is that Fox didn't go all in on it, that they just didn't run it without.
Well, what was their vibe? But remember
what they did when they cut away from it. They had Mike Huckabee and that Pete Hegseth guy completely sucking up, saying that you just heard the greatest speech in American history.
That
forget
was
FDR, forget Reagan, forget Kennedy.
So that was the Fox vibe,
huh?
So they're still struggling, because the marching orders have very clearly come for the Murdoch family. We are a DeSantis fucking channel. You guys need to get on board with this DeSantis train, because this is our guy. And now. They've got a lover pulling them in another direction right now.
I understand that, but Rupert always hedges his bets, no matter what it looks like. He's always got his bets hedged, and this is the way to do it. You run the coverage. You talk about how great he was, then you move on, and you kind of ignore him as best you can.
You got the Fox viewers demand; they have to know who they're going to go for. They need to be told who to go for. They cannot be pulled this way and that way. We need to either move on from Donald Trump, and it's terrible the things that he's saying right now about DeSantis and Glenn Youngkin and all these other people, or, oh, my God, I need you back in my life, ex-lover. That's what needs to happen right now.
Well, here we are 6 years after what we said on that day, and I think it's fair to say we were not anticipating a good 4 years ahead, were we? And correctly so. But as we sit here this day, this November 16th, I think we have to acknowledge a couple of things that we might not have acknowledged before the last election. Because at some level, I don't think we thought it could happen. Most of us didn't think that we're not really going to elect this guy. And Hillary Clinton was leading in most of the polls. It didn't seem like she was going to get beat, but it happened. I think this time around, nobody is going to operate under the assumption that Donald Trump could not be the next president. It could happen. Mm. You have to acknowledge that.
I'll give you that. But he also, can I just say that he feels to me to be much less of a threat than he was in 2016 or 2020. He seems much more, I don't know, emasculated, weak, ineffectual, low energy. It seems like the act is played out at this point. Again, I'm not discounting the fact that he could win, but to me, he's not as scary as he was.
Well, we've defined deviancy down in terms of what is acceptable to be president of the United States. And the first thing that we talk about in that arena is age. Okay. So it's a double-edged sword. Biden, who said he ran in 2020 because of Trumpism, because of Charlottesville, if he's been egged on again, and he's in effect said it, if Trump runs again, that makes me more likely to want to run. If that happens and we have, you know, 82-year-old candidate Joe Biden, I guess he won't be, he'll almost be 82, right? Because he just turned 80 this week, right?
Knocking on the door at 82.
In effect, 82-year-old Joe Biden against, and what did we say Trump is, 75, 76? Mm-hmm. So he'll be 78. Just that fact in and of itself, suddenly the observation I think you correctly made about Donald Trump, low energy, intentional or not, it's going to be two more years down the line for him. I mean, he's got 2 years of insults and trash and garbage and legal problems that are ahead of him. But on the other side of that could be, who knows, another Trump presidency. I shudder. I perish the thought. And it forces you and me again, and a lot of us, to ask the question, why would they still vote for him? Why would there possibly be a constituency big enough? And forget the raw number from 2020. He got 10 million more votes than he got in 2016. It doesn't mean anything right now. It really doesn't, because there's so much flux. There's so many people that, again, in 2022, just last week, who were Trump voters, who obviously decided they'd had enough of Trumpism, which was expressed through these candidates who were ready to change election results if they could get themselves in the position to do so. Or in the case of Doug Mastriano in Pennsylvania, he would get to appoint the Secretary of State. They don't have an elected Secretary of State, and that Secretary of State would have done Doug Mastriano's bidding, assumedly on behalf of a candidate, Donald Trump, to nail down Pennsylvania for Trump come hell or high water. And the voters said, you know, we don't want that. But they didn't overwhelmingly say this. Remember, most of these elections were pretty close. Again, they were 3-4 point wins. And so that means we still have 40 to 45% of people who instantly would vote for Trump. So if the opponent is Joe Biden, and we don't know what the atmospherics will be like, we don't know what the economy is going to be like, we don't know what, God forbid, gas prices are going to be like in 2 years, we don't know if there's still going to be, I hope not, a war in Europe in 2 years. That if it is, it will have bled, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars more from the Allies and the United States. It will not be helpful to our economy. So you better go buy Lockheed Martin stock. Want to cash in on that one.
Are you? Did you do that yourself? Now, is that advice you're following?
Britt, I have advisors. I have nothing to do.
But you can call them up and say, I want some Lockheed Martin. I mean, you're capable of doing that.
Britt, I'm more likely to call them up and say, I'd like some Dean Martin. Dean Martin, could you cue that up? Everybody loves somebody sometime. Hey, Jerry.
Am I right, though, in saying, and you and I, again, are just haters. And again, that clip that you played 20 minutes ago proves that we were on board with, we knew what this guy was. We could tell what this piece of shit was walking down Main Street. Does it seem to you that whole thing last night has landed like a penguin fart? Like there's no impact whatsoever. The production value didn't work and America shrugged. Am I right in saying that, or am I just too far inside the bubble?
You are, except you have to put this into perspective here. When he came down that golden escalator in Trump Tower, that was a complete bizarre Ringling Brothers choreographed circus moment, because remember they had to hire people to be there to cheer for Trump. It was a total, and we all laughed at it. We thought that was bullshit. So now this is the other side of that. He's got all the the baggage of the 6-7 years of being out there. And every time we've made a decision that, well, this is the time, well, he sure blew it this time, or Brad says, oh, he should have done it at a rally, we turn out to be wrong. Now, eventually, we're going to be the blind squirrel that finds the nut or the clock that's right twice a day on the guy, and he will have that expiration date finally come. But I don't know if it's here yet, and you and I are not on the other side of the aisle agonizing over what happens with other candidates. I mean, if I was Ron DeSantis, I'd probably say, fuck it. What is he, 40, 44?
Yeah.
So he's got about 10 more election cycles to run for president before we'd get to the age of Donald Trump right now. He's got plenty of time. Then there's the, wait a minute, he's got the hot hand right now. He just got reelected in Florida, one of the most important states in the country, by over 15 points. You got to grab it now. This is your moment. Look, Barack Obama was a barely known senator when he said, I'm it. I can do it. I'm the man. Not a lot of people believed him. Next thing you know, he was the president of the United States.
You could serve your two terms if you're DeSantis, and you could be retired from everything at 54. Basically, is what could happen.
Well, his goal isn't to be retired at 54.
Maybe it is. Maybe he just wants to make the grab and get the fuck out. Yeah. But if he loves this country and he sees what's going on, he'll run now, Brad. He'll run right now and save us all.
That would be an act of patriotism for him to run.
This was your real red ripple, I think, on Tuesday night. I don't think this thing landed. I'll go further, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, because we're not in Arizona. You and I don't live there. I don't think you have anybody that lives in Arizona anymore. That whole situation there, and the way that Carrie Lake is trying to fire people up, and that whole thing about the cheating and, oh, my God, they stole it again, that doesn't seem to be resonating at all either.
It may not be resonating, but that doesn't mean it's dead.
I mean, I'm not going to say, and I'm kind of surprised, and I don't hope this happens. I hope there's not some major tragedy in Arizona with some of these Proud Boy assholes going off and, oh, my God, it was stolen, and gunning down 20 people at, you know, an office building somewhere. I hope that doesn't happen. But given the inspiration and the kind of people that they are, would it be that surprising?
No. And that's the point. That's the point. And because Trump is such a liar, he's just so psychotically broken. And we don't know for sure whether he's a true believer in his own bullshit. You can't be 100% sure. But remember, every loss has two components to it. Number one, it wasn't really a loss. And number two, we really won. And anything that you think that was negative or losing about was someone else's fault, not yours, not mine. It was them. And I don't think any of that has changed, because Trump is giving aid and comfort to people who, even if they're not out in the streets right now protesting or not filing lawsuits anymore, he still got their back. But on the other hand, I can argue the other side. Maybe you're right. Maybe 4 years of this is enough. And I have this other theory, the famous turnaround projection theory here, which is this. At his thing at Mar-a-Lago, by the way, the New York Post, they get 5 cookies. You see what they did? They just put Florida man makes speech at the bottom of the front page. And there's a Florida man makes speech, page 26.
Okay? It's the New York Post?
Yeah.
You see, I mean, the Murdochs are unapologetically shitting on this guy every chance they get.
I know. And that's really, really funny. And that's great. But here's what I was trying to get to. Trump said absolutely nothing about election denial in particular. He said nothing in particular about how I didn't really lose that election. He didn't go there. That's something he has been going to in his rallies. So he left that explicit part out. And it's my belief that he may have made the calculation, and maybe the election results, even if he won't acknowledge that they weren't, how should we say, favorable to the candidates he explicitly supported, Ted Budd excluded, and he didn't really, you know, he wouldn't go crazy for Ted Budd anyway. But for the most part, you know, his biggies all lost, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they were all election liars like him. So he really does know that it's not a winning hand anymore to win elections. It never really was, but now it's been proven. Absolutely, positively proven. So what he may have started to do last night is go completely silent on that issue. And then when people like you and me and the evil media bring up the fact that Donald Trump is a person who has denied the reality of election losses for him and has never conceded the 2020 election, what he's going to do is he's going to blame you for bringing up the topic. Sound familiar here? Why are you talking about? I never said that. He is going to go in full 100% denial that right. he ever questioned an election. And you are the problem. You are causing it. Why are you talking about this? And most of his followers, because this is what drives all of us crazy, they will go along with that new lie. So he's going to lie on top of the lie about saying that the election results were unfair. He's going to lie and say, I never said that. Who said that? Why are you bringing this up? And they'll go along with him. Now, that's a bizarre, upside-down conspiracy theory of insanity. But he didn't talk about it at the moment when he had the most attention he's going to have between now and maybe the Republican convention in the summer of 2024, right? This is the he's never going to get even 2.2 cable network live coverage of anything that he does. And he chose not to say that. So what do you think of that theory?
Well, it's a high watermark. I mean, as far as his coverage, you're right. I think from here on out, not as many people are going to cover anything that he does until he makes the announcement he's withdrawing. Whatever. I was reading some stuff.
By the way, Stormy Daniels heard me make an announcement about withdrawal. She kicked me out of the room.
Yeah. I was reading stuff from a lot of people saying that they feel like the announcement really helps the Democrats, and in particular, it helps them ahead of the runoff election in Georgia. Between Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock. Do you agree that this is helpful to the Democrats? Because I think it is.
Well, I think specifically about Georgia, every little thing he does is bullshit. Yeah. I think that was a big song by the Police, right? Everything he does is
huge.
Bullshit.
A big one.
because the incentive is so not there. It is so not there for Republicans. For instance, if you saw... I guess he's been reelected to run the Republicans as the minority leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, as Machiavellian and evil as he is, I would never, ever question his actual intelligence and his political instincts. They're pretty good. And he flat out said the total truth again on Tuesday that Republicans lost their way. They really didn't have any kind of message that resonated across the country, specifically with people. It was all about scaring the shit out of them. He didn't use that word, but basically that's what he was saying. And he said it didn't work. It just didn't work. And then he reiterated what he said back in August, that this issue with a candidate quality did play a part of it. And candidate quality, that would also cover Herschel Walker. Okay. It really does cover Herschel Walker pretty much.
He's kind of the poster boy, if you will. I mean, he's kind of exhibit A.
Yeah. So between Mitch McConnell acknowledging that, between Trump making the next 2 years of your life all about him, that's all that matters. The fact that he didn't mention, and I'm glad you brought this up. It just occurred to me, unless I missed it. He had an opportunity. And, you know, put your seatbelt on, because I'm going to say something really ridiculously stupid. If Donald Trump were a team player, okay, stop laughing, then he would have used that national forum to talk about the importance of electing Herschel Walker next month in Georgia. But he can't do that. He didn't even think of that. It doesn't matter to him. He doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter one shoe. And I'll ask you, you get the call on this. Yes or no? Will Donald Trump inflict himself onto the voters of Georgia with a live appearance or two? Or will he not go because he doesn't give a shit? Or will he not go because he is told flat out, you don't have a passport that's good in Georgia. We don't want you here, sir.
If he gets the notion that that thing is a dead bang loser, he won't go. Otherwise, he'll go. If he feels like he can pull it out and get the credit for pulling it out, then he'll go to Georgia. But if he starts sniffing around and there are some people that are like, he's not going to win this runoff, you're going to look stupid. And then DeSantis stays away as well, then I think he'll stay away.
But based on that, there's no way he goes, because everywhere he went, he lost.
Yeah.
Except North Carolina.
Exactly.
But, you know, standing next to Donald Trump is not like having your picture taken with a Beatle or the Queen.
No,
just something you treasure forever.
But you know Herschel Walker's people would not be able to refuse him if he wanted to come. It's just a matter of
that's why I use the word inflict.
That's why, and that's another reason. It's like the fist fight between DeSantis and Trump as they get on stage to try to endorse Herschel Walker and make the event all about themselves. I mean, that could be delightful and delicious, right?
Yeah. That would be the perfect ending to all this. Trump going to Georgia, ostensibly to Trump to stump for Herschel, right? And all he does is make a speech about himself again.
Yeah.
As if he was at one of these rallies across the country. Because, again, if you saw it, I mean, it's worse than ever. I mean, when he comes to your city to campaign for you, yeah, it is a festivus of the same grievances over and over again.
Same shit.
Which now include, you know, them raiding his beautiful home here in Mar-a-Lago. And the candidate for whom he is appearing gets pointed at and introduced and speaks for 25 seconds and then is sent off. It's like a hook at the old talent shows. They're hooked around the neck and they're gone, right? It's worse than the Academy Awards when they turn up the music. And I'm surprised he doesn't do that. And by the way, I was surprised. This is Trump's idea of elegance. This is Trump's idea of quality production. Because as you know, he's a genius in media, Brit. He's just so good at it. He decided not to play the creepy music there the last 10 minutes, like he has at all these rallies, this QAnon droll violin concerto of doom that he's been playing. So by not doing that, that's Trump's version of I'm being elegant. I'm showing optimism by not doing that. But he was talking about all the same things, about the crime and them pouring over the borders and the same stuff. So the answer is we thought it sucked, but it doesn't matter. And there are so many moving parts between now and 2 years from now that it's almost unimaginable. Because think about 2 years ago, November 16th, 2020. We hadn't had January 6th, 2021 happen yet. We could never have anticipated what's gone on between then and now politically. So it just makes no sense to even think that we can predict what the future will be. But I would, you know, it, I mean, this is the old buy a lot of popcorn because, you know, don't know what's going to happen here. And I just hope we hold the line on the democratic process.
You got to keep your eye on the ball. The Georgia runoff is what matters now. Anything else we can worry about afterwards. It's Warnock and Walker, and that's it.
Right. It would make the Democratic majority in the House mansion proof. If they can get that next vote. Okay.
Yeah.
It would make it mansion proof. Now, it wouldn't make it both mansion and cinema proof. Well, actually it would. Yeah, it would. If you get two more, then you can afford to lose both of those every time. You still have 50 plus Kamala Harris, so you can pass shit.
That's right.
In the House of in the Senate.
There's a minority even of liberals or Democrats who are like, Georgia doesn't even matter. And I'm like, no. Don't say that. No. This is huge. This is a big deal.
I haven't heard anybody say it don't matter.
Yeah, I know. You haven't been out there looking. It's out there.
Well, I don't look for the negative.
it doesn't matter. We already got it. We're good. No. This is a huge deal. Plus, Herschel Walker is kind of a piece of shit and really stupid. So there's also that element of it. And he'll be a complete tool of everything like that Reverend said a few weeks ago, everything those white people want him to do. He'll just go ahead and be led right to it. So, yes, absolutely, 100%. This is a big deal, and that's what the eyes on the prize are, not this stuff over here with Trump doing whatever bullshit he's doing. This is it. You got to focus on this thing right now.
Right. With the caveat emptor, buyer beware stamp on all of this, Trump could be the next president, and Herschel Walker could be the next senator from Georgia. I don't think it's going to happen. The stars are not lined up in his favor at all now, fortunately. And he can just go back to producing babies, getting abortions for women who he doesn't want to have the babies, and all the other good things that he's, well, known for now, right?
He never did that. That wasn't him.
You're right. He denied it. We have to take him at his word. I forgot.